We're into Joshua chapter 1. We got a chance to start there last time. We're going to pick it up a little bit into the... We didn't get very far, but the Lord's taken us kind of deep on this section, and that's okay. This is an awesome passage. I had told some of you it's one of those passages that you just don't want to teach it. You just want to mess it up. You don't want to miss anything. You don't want to get anything out of order. You want to kind of just leave it as it is. So that's why we've been going a little deeper on that. Now, just a little review again with Joshua. This book is the book of conquest. For the people of Joshua's time, it was conquering the land that was occupied by their enemies. Excuse me. But for us today, we conquer spiritual land. We're taking spiritual territory that's occupied by our enemy, the devil. Now, these spiritual lands that we're supposed to conquer end up being both strongholds in our own life as well as strongholds in the lives of others. And remember, our battles are against the world, the flesh, and the devil. Okay? Now, God was giving the land to the Israelites. He was going to give it to them just like he had promised Abraham. And we mentioned this last time. That's why it's called the Promised Land, because it was promised to Abraham. And the Lord was giving them the land, but it had to be possessed by them. So he's saying it's yours, but you got to go in and possess it. Okay? So we get some good lessons for that. For us, as we look at the Promised Land, we can look at it as the land of God's promises. The Bible's filled with promises. And the promises have been given to us believers, but we have to possess them. He's given them to us, but we have to possess the promises. So how do we do that? The same way these people did. It's by faith. Okay, meaning that we trust what the Lord says to be true, and we obey him no matter what. Okay, no matter what the circumstances look like, no matter what our thinking tells us. If God said something, it's true, and we just trust that above all else. Okay? We're also going to see that for us, the Promised Land is the picture of the Spirit-filled life. The Lord's calling us to live in the Spirit-filled life, which means that we're to be under the Spirit's control. When we talk about being filled with the Spirit, it means we're letting the Spirit control us, allowing him to fill our life and give us direction and guidance and leading us, and we follow. When we completely surrender to the Lord, we'll be trusting what God said to be true, and we'll be living by that. So we're going to put action to what we say we believe. And that's the fullness of faith, that we don't just say we believe it, but we actually live it. Okay? So the book of Joshua is so important to us because in it the Lord teaches us how to be victorious in the Spirit-filled life. Now let's jump back to verse 5 as we're in chapter 1 there. And verse 5 says, "No man shall be able to stand before you," as the Lord has given direction here to Joshua. "No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go." So we went through that last time, just a reminder of some of those things. When it comes to the Spirit-filled life, some people would say, "Well, I'm afraid to surrender completely." But the Lord would say to them, "Be strong and of good courage." The Lord is going to take us some places when we surrender to him that might be a little scary, but it's okay because he's in control and he knows what he's doing a lot better than we do, right? So when some people might have that thought of, "I don't know, I'd be afraid to just completely surrender. I don't know what the Lord would do." His word would be strong and of good courage. Okay. Also, there's a principle in this section we looked at as he keeps saying, "Be strong and very courageous." The principle is, it takes strength and great courage to obey the Lord and to follow the Lord's leading. So he says, "Be strong and of good courage. Be strong and very courageous." Yeah, if you're walking with the Lord and you're following Him, you know it's a tough walk because you're going against the grain of the world. You got a lot against you that way. So the Lord would say to us, you know, you're going to have strength and great courage to obey Him. And that's okay. The Lord gives us that strength. We're not on our own for that. He provides that for us. Also remember, He tells us here, don't turn to the right or to the left. He's telling us to go straight down the line and don't even veer off just a little bit. So I mentioned this last time. Small compromises can lead to big mistakes. And we even emphasized that little bitty compromises can lead to great disasters. So the Lord warns Joshua here, don't veer off. You stay right there on the word. You stay exactly where I tell you to be, not to the right, not to the left. So as we said last time also, aim small, miss small, okay? Walk the straight and narrow. And what will be the result? What does He say there? That you may prosper wherever you go. Now think about that. How would you like to experience that? To prosper wherever you go. That's awesome, isn't it? You should be saying, sign me up. I want that, okay? So what's required for us to see that in our lives? And He tells us here, He said you have to be careful to observe all that Moses, my servant, commanded you. So it's complete obedience to God's word. That's what's required for you to be able to prosper wherever you go. Complete surrender to God's will, okay? The Lord's given us in the New Testament such a big advantage as believers because He's already given us the Holy Spirit when we got saved. So all we have to do is surrender to the Holy Spirit whom He's already given us and let Him have the driver's seat of our lives. So He's really simplified it for us. We have a big edge on this one as far as a New Testament believer. Okay, so you said, so I surrender, give up my life to let the Spirit lead me and control me. But how do I know that what I am doing is really God's will? Read on, look at verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night. And what's the reason? That you may observe to do according to all that is written in it, so you'll be obeying it because you're spending so much of your time focusing on it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. So this is a very important principle. The Bible and the Holy Spirit cannot be separated. You need both, okay? Just because you surrender to the Holy Spirit, it doesn't mean that you don't need the Word of God. And this is where a lot of churches get out of balance and they end up going kind of cockeyed, okay? They're not going the way, the direction the Lord wants them to go. They love the experience of having the Holy Spirit in their lives. And it's an awesome experience. But they get caught up in the experience and they leave the Bible behind. And they're thinking, oh, I just got this great thing going here, so I just follow whatever, you know, whatever I feel today. And that's a big mistake. Who wrote the Bible? The Holy Spirit did. So you can't separate them. You got to have them both, okay, together. We're told in the New Testament in 2 Peter, prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit and the Bible cannot be separated. They're in agreement, okay? That's an extremely important principle. To have that balance there of, I'm filled with the Holy Spirit, I've allowed Him to control my life, I've surrendered to Him, but I've got the Word of God, and I keep focusing on the Word of God, and that it works together that way, okay? Yeah, like you've probably seen people like that too. They kind of call them on the charismatic edge, where they get into a lot of wild stuff because they've gotten away from the Word. So important to stay in the Word. Now notice, where the book of law, he says the law of the word of God should not depart from in verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart from where? Your mouth. Isn't that interesting? So you meditate on it, meaning that you're going to be thinking about it. It's what he says here. And you talk about it. Okay? How often do I do this? Just all the time. Because he says night and day. Okay? So who do I talk to? Well, you can talk to the Lord, and you can talk to other people. Okay, that's good. You can talk to yourself too if nobody's around, but you know, but you're meditating on what God has shown you, what He's bringing up in your life, what He wants you to see. And as you're chewing on those things, you're meditating on them. Talk to the Lord about them, you know, and He'll make it part of you, help you follow that. Because the goal of this is that you'd obey Him. That's what He said, that you would observe all these things. Okay. And these days, when you talk to people, you can talk to them through texting, through tweeting, through email, or even talk to them in person. I know it's kind of a different thing these days, but, you know, and why would I do this again? Well, look at verse 8, what it says again. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Okay? And it says here that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. It's going to help you obey completely. And that's going to bring prosperity. That's going to bring success. Now, don't get stuck in the prosperity thing that we wave around in this country here, you know, thinking it's all money, money, money. That's not the point at all. It's that God's going to prosper you in your life, you know, things that are much more valuable than money. You know, we're talking about people, relationships, you know, everything that the Lord wants you to be going, every direction he has us to go. He will prosper us in that, and we'll see good success there. And we just praise the Lord, again, for these kind of blessings he gives us. So he gives us, if you're looking for formulas, he's given you a nice little formula here. And here's how you do it. The answers are right there. You keep the law in front of you. Don't let it depart from your mouth. Because you know, if you're thinking about it that much and talking about it that much, your focus is right there in the Word of God. It's right where we're supposed to be. Verse 9 goes on, have I not commanded you? The Lord talking here. Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Now notice he said, I commanded you to do these things. So these were Joshua's marching orders. And what were they? To be strong and of good courage. That's interesting if you stop and think about it. You know, he didn't say, I want you to go down this path and go over this section and go here and go there. He says, here's your command for me. Be strong and of good courage. And if you do that, you're going to be able to obey the Lord, right? That's what he said you need to obey, all right? Now, why doesn't Joshua have to be afraid? What does he tell him here? Because of the presence of God. It's going to be with him wherever he goes. Can you imagine wherever Joshua is at, the presence of the Lord is there too? Wow. And what about us? Well, Jesus said that he would never leave us nor forsake us. So we've been given the same promise and these same marching orders. So can you imagine that wherever you go as a Christian, you're a believer in Christ, this is talking to you. Wherever you go, the presence of the Lord is there. Wow. You think about that. This is a special promise he gave to Joshua in order to lead these people into the promised land. And the Lord has scattered it to all believers in the New Testament. That's amazing when you stop and think about it. Now, the Lord tells Joshua here, don't be afraid and don't be dismayed. To be dismayed means to lose courage, or we might say to be discouraged, okay? He tells him, don't do that. Now, let's be honest for a minute, because this one really hits home, I think, with us. When it comes to witnessing about Jesus, what stops us more than anything else, at least in our country? It's fear, isn't it? Isn't that interesting? So this isn't a new thing either, right? Remember the little campfire girl that came up to the big apostle Peter and said, you're one of that man's disciples, aren't you? And Peter said, I am not. So even this little girl brought the fear up in Peter, and he wasn't going to say, I'm a follower of Jesus, okay? So the fear thing is pretty common. And it's a spiritual battle if you think about it, when we witness to someone. It's a battle for their life, and we're invading enemy territory. So fear comes, and it may try to stop us. But what does the Lord say? That he's with us, and we're not alone, okay? Now, the thought's going to come to you when you start to witness to someone. You know this if you stepped out and done this. When you start to witness someone, the thought comes that God's not really with you. And it's just you. You're alone, Okay? And that's, of course, from the enemy. But that's where our faith comes in. Because God says he is with you. Do you believe that? You know? Will you trust that to be true? You know, if it's true, it's true whether you believe it or not. But if you're a Christian, it's absolutely true. The presence of God is with you, and you're never alone. So when you have opportunity to talk to someone about Jesus, and that thought comes, it's just you. You're alone. You're just talking. You're just a person. That's a lie. God is with you. His presence is there with you. How powerful would you feel to think this through? You mean when I talk to somebody, when I hand them a track, that Jesus is right there with me? What kind of power is that we're talking about? Think about it. Wow, it's amazing. So God's given us our marching orders too. He's commanded us to be strong and of good courage. We're not supposed to be afraid. We're not supposed to be discouraged. We're not supposed to lose our courage. Because God is going with us as we go into battle. We're not going alone. So never give up. Think that one through. We're not fighting alone. So don't give up. And he's already given us the victory. Look back at verse 3. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. We talked about that last time. Our spiritual battles that the Lord calls us to, he said, I've already given you the victory. You already have that. Man, it's amazing when you stop and think about it, that we don't have to fight and hope someday we might win. He says, I've already given it to you. You just got to go possess it. It's already there. Amazing. Now, since God is with us, since his presence is there, when we pray, he is right there. So much prayer is needed. We need to pray, Lord. Lord, we need your help. Lord, we want to see what you want us to do. We want to be where you want us to be. We need your strength. And I don't know if you've done that lately. You pray for the Lord's strength, and it's amazing how the Lord will come in and give you the strength to do that. Now, I want to tell you this because it came to me while I was studying there, that I made a mistake. I missed an opportunity. We came back from the parade that night, and most of us, I think, were, not the kids, they always got energy, but most of us were exhausted. We were just, you know, one step in front of another step, one step in front of another. We were pretty tired. And the thing I missed was, we should have stopped everything once we all climbed into the building here and just stopped and prayed right then and thanked the Lord for the victory. Because it was amazing when you think about that. You know, that we got to hand out probably 7,000 or more tracts that night. And there was a smaller number of people on the streets. So the percentage we hit of the people was way up compared to a normal year. You know, so we just praise the Lord for what he did there. Yeah, but I really felt like, oh man, we missed an opportunity. I should have stopped right then and just had a prayer celebration saying, thank you, Lord Jesus. Now, we prayed since then. We thank the Lord. But we just missed that opportunity. Well, I missed it. I'll take the blame on that one. We were so tired. We didn't even think about it. We just, like I said, we're thinking we got to get in the building. Then we got to get to the car. We got to get home. That was about as far as we were going at that point. But the kids, of course, were running all over the place. We could have shared some of that energy they had. All right, verse 10. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass through the camp and command the people, saying, prepare provisions for yourself, for within 3 days you will cross over this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God is giving you to possess. Now, the people in this passage, they're seeing something that we haven't seen yet because they're right there. They're by the Jordan and they have eyes on it where we don't have it here. We just got our page and we don't have all this. But at this particular time of the year, the Jordan River was at flood stage. It was above its banks. Okay? So these people are seeing this. And Joshua's orders are, hey, get your stuff together because we're going to go over this thing and we're going to go and take that land. Okay? So their orders were to gather provisions for themselves for when they cross over. But wouldn't you think that the flooding river might be the problem to focus on? Say, wait a minute. Before we start gathering stuff to go over, don't we have to figure out how we're going to get over there? But there's that, the faith. Well, again, here's the principle. Excuse me. When God's with you and when God's leading you, the problems that we see aren't problems for our great God. It's no problem for him. We have the end of the story. We know the Lord had a plan for them to get across. They weren't even going to get wet feet going across. Okay, just a couple guys up front, but the rest of them, dry land. So amazing that the problems that we would look at, the Lord says, forget that. Look past the problem. You do what I tell you to do. You get your provisions ready for going into the land. Amazing. Verse 12. And to the Reubenites, the Gadites, and half the tribe of Manasseh, Joshua spoke, saying, remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God is giving you rest and is giving you this land. Your wives, your little ones, and your livestock shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side of the Jordan. Remember, they weren't going to cross the Jordan. Those couple of tribes and a half were going to stay over here. But you shall pass before your brethren, armed all your mighty men of valor, and help them. So they had a lot of warriors on their side there. It says, until the Lord has given your brethren rest, as he gave you, and they also have taken possession of the land which the Lord your God is giving them. Then you shall return to the land of your possession and enjoy it. So you'll be able to come back on this side of the Jordan and you'll be able to enjoy your land, which Moses, the Lord's servant, gave you on this side of the Jordan toward the sunrise. So these tribes that are mentioned here were to lead the way into the battle. And they were the fighters, they were the warriors. So because they had these guys that were really tough and excellent at fighting, the Lord was going to have them lead the way, even though they were going to live outside of the Jordan. They were going to be on this side, okay? So he gives the direction on how to do that. Now remember, we looked at this before, the people outside the promised land, they're a picture for us of the believers who are not spirit-filled. And there are a number of Christians who are not spirit-filled. But the Lord shows us here some important things. And this is something, man, if the body of Christ would get a hold of this, we would have such a powerful force for the Lord to be doing a lot more than we seem to accomplish as churches, okay? Here's one of the things. These people that are outside the promised land, those who choose not to be filled with the Spirit, either because they weren't taught that, or they don't think it's the thing they should do, or whatever their reason, they are useful, okay? Some of them are tenacious fighters for the Word. Now, there's some guys that I could mention to you that are radio guys, and I don't believe they're spirit-filled. They've never been taught that. They don't believe that. They're very tough on the Word, though, man. They'll fight tooth and nail to make sure you hold to the Word of God and stick to the Word of God. So they're good fighters. It's a good thing. But they're not spirit-filled. They don't believe that's something for today. They don't understand the full concept of that. So you'll find me emphasize it a lot. We'll talk about this more. Because I see the importance of being spirit-filled. I think the enemy wants to keep us on this side of the Jordan. He doesn't want us to get full of the Spirit, get on the other side, and see the power of God in amazing ways. So first of all, they are useful. Some of them are tenacious fighters for the Word. And secondly, they should work together with their brothers and sisters in Christ who are spirit-filled. Notice, he's sending these tribes into the land to fight together, okay? I think the enemy works really hard to keep Christians divided. And I think there's a big misconception out there. A lot of the battle seems to be, when you get into the body of Christ as a whole, a lot of the battle seems to be over speaking in tongues. I don't believe that's the real issue. The issue is being spirit-filled. I think the tongues is just a smokescreen the enemy uses to try to keep people's eyes off of being filled with the Spirit. Because being filled with the Spirit is where the power is at. Because you're allowing the Holy Spirit to make you a powerful witness for Jesus. Okay? So it's a great battle strategy, you think about it, for the enemy to keep the body of Christ divided over some issue. Okay? And I understand that's a battle strategy that the enemy's trying to use and doing a pretty effective job at it. But as Christians, we need to wake up and not fall for his lies. You know, although I wish that all Christians would surrender to the Spirit-filled life, there will always be some who want to live outside the promised land. But we still need to work with them, and they need to work with us, side by side in battle. And the thing is, we're not only on the same team, But like these tribes, they were all united by blood. So are we. We're in the same family. We're in the family of God. Okay? So I see a really important principle here that I wish the church would wake up to and really grab onto. Okay? Because the body's meant to fight together, and it's powerful when the body comes together. The enemy sees great loss when the body of Christ comes together and starts working side by side and puts all their differences aside there. It's amazing to watch that. Verse 16. So they answered Joshua, saying, all that you command us, we will do. So the people are responding here. And wherever you send us, we will go. Now, this is a real blessing for a leader to hear these words. You know? How much of a blessing is it for the Lord when he hears the words like this from his kids to say, Lord, I will do whatever you tell me to do, and wherever you send me to go, I will go. Yeah. So as a leader, boy, you'd love to hear the folks saying they're gonna follow. And that's what the word is here. Verse 17. Just as we heeded Moses in all things, I don't know, I have a question mark on that one, you know, so we will heed you. I'm thinking, I hope you do a little better job than that, you know. Only the Lord your God will be with you, as he was with Moses. Whoever rebels against your command and does not heed your words and all that you command him shall be put to death. Only be strong and of good courage. Now, these people confirmed what the Lord had already said to Joshua. The Lord be with you. The Lord said, I'm going to be with you. They said, be strong and of good courage. So what a good confirmation from these people, you know. And if you're a believer today, I can tell you that the Lord is with you too. So be strong and of good courage. And I hope you can encourage me the same way, you know, to say those things. I think the Lord enjoys it when we believe him, when we trust in him. I think it thrills him, you know, to say, Lord, whatever you say is true, amen, I believe it, you know. But when we don't believe God, the Lord says we're calling him a liar. And it's no wonder the Lord gets upset when somebody doesn't accept Jesus. You know, after God's told them that Jesus died to pay for their sins completely. Because the Bible says, he who does not believe in God has made him a liar because he has not believed the testimony that God has given of his son. Yeah, so for us to say, man, I want to believe the Lord. I want to live for the Lord. Do that. That's what we're supposed to do. To do less than that is to say, Lord, I don't believe you, which implies God's a liar. That's something you don't want to do. Okay, let me give you just a couple of side notes. I think we'll stop at this point. It's kind of warm today in here, so we'll try to end a little bit sooner. Here's something, though. In the book of Joshua, somebody had said this. Chapters 1 through 4 concern the entrance into the land and all that is involved in them getting into the land in the first place. So if you're struggling right now with how to enter into the life of victory with Christ, how to move out of the wilderness of doubt, out of the restless wanderings and mere subsistence into the full blessing of the Spirit-led experience, then this is a section you should focus on. Excuse me. So if you say, you know, I'd really like that Spirit-filled life, I just don't know exactly how I can do that. I don't know how I can really get into that. Focus on the first four chapters of Joshua, and all the answers are there. And how to get into the land, because the Lord's going to take them step by step through all of that. And where they're going to end up? In the land, the promised land. And again, that's a picture of us being Spirit-filled. Let me throw this out too as we got a second. We talk about the Spirit-filled life, the life in Canaan here. Like I said before, some people use that as a picture of heaven, but it can't be heaven because right there we have the battles and stuff in the promised land. There's no battles in heaven. Lord willing, we don't have to face any battles when we get there. So this is a picture of the Spirit-filled life. Think about the big picture. When the Lord took them out of Egypt, what's the first thing he had them do? Cross the river, right? They had to cross the Red Sea there. That's a picture of being rescued from your sin, picture of being baptized into Christ. Now you're a believer, you're a follower of the Lord. from that point on, they should have gone straight into the promised land, which at that point would have been the same thing that's coming up here. It would have been another water separation here, picture of another baptism. Well, what's the second baptism in Scripture? It's the baptism of the Holy Spirit, see? So we have the picture of believers going through this second baptism, going into the promised land, a picture of the Holy Spirit baptism. All right, and who does that? Well, we might take time to dig into that a little further sometime. But Jesus is the one who baptizes us with the Holy Spirit. He said, just like John baptized you with water, you will be baptized by many days from now, and you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So Jesus is the one who does that one. Okay, like I said, we might dissect that a little further to get your understanding around that one. But the cool thing is, if you're a believer, you already have the Holy Spirit in you. And the idea is he comes in as a guest when you get saved. But when you surrender to him, now he takes over as the Lord and he fills you. And that's where the leading comes in, the power comes in. We get to speak. And you look at the book of Acts and you see Peter stand up. The guy who was afraid of a little girl 50 days earlier. Now he's preaching to thousands and people are getting saved. Okay, so that's a big thing, I believe. And like I said, I think the enemy's using a smokescreen to keep a lot of Christians out of that and afraid of it. But it's not a thing to be afraid of. It's a thing to walk into and say, Lord, I surrender to you. Fill me with your Spirit and use me for your glory. Okay, sorry for my voice. Thanks for your patience today. We'll close at this point. If anyone's here who doesn't know Jesus died for you, he did. He paid for your sins completely. He said on the cross, it's finished. He took care of everything. Praise the Lord. God raised him from the dead to prove his sacrifice was acceptable. So if here today and you never surrendered to the Lord to say, Jesus, I know you died for my sins and I want to receive you into my life, please do that today. Don't wait any longer. If you're a believer today, the Lord's encouraging you. He's strengthening you to get you ready to jump into the promised land. If you haven't done that yet, I'd encourage you as well to say, Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. And I receive that by faith because you command me to be filled with the Spirit. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word of truth. We give you the praise for that. Lord, I thank you that today you've challenged us with your word that we need to obey you carefully. And you told us how, Lord, to keep it always in front of us. Father, I know the enemy is going to try to work on us even this week. And try to trip us up, get us off the path, to the right or to the left. He doesn't really care. But Father, I ask you to give us the strength, the discernment, the wisdom to just do what you said, to keep the word in front of us all the time. Father, we look forward to what you're going to do. And Father, I ask you too for all those people that receive tracts from the parade. We pray, Father, you continue to let your word go forth from those. Father, for all the people that had opportunity to hear the praise and worship last night and the message this morning, we pray again your word would go forth in strength and power. We thank you for the blessing of your Holy Spirit. And we give you all the praise back in Jesus' precious name. Amen.